Hello.
How are we all today? I hope you're having an absolutely amazing day, whatever you're doing. Episode 47 on Thursday, the 29th of July, 2021. Absolutely mental to think that there has been 47 episodes that I've managed to find things. Maybe I'm just repeating myself now, I don't know. Possibly I am. But oh well. People are still tuning in, which is great. 'Cause you are the ones that make this happen, honestly. I cannot thank you enough for tuning in and for listening. You are absolutely amazing. You should all give yourself a round of applause for constantly tuning in to the EAEM podcast. Like, I honestly can't thank yous enough. I really can't. It is absolutely fantastic. And I enjoy sitting here, sitting in my living room, talking to myself. But I'm glad that it brings joy to some people, that you keep on listening. Like, I honestly can't thank you from the bottom of my heart. As I've said before, it's a bit like my therapy. I get quite a lot out of my head and onto the podcast. As I've said before, though, these views are mine and mine only. You might not agree with them, but thanks very much for still tuning in. It's absolutely fantastic. I hope that, well, I promise that I won't go on to COVID or anything like that today, or I don't think I'm going to speak about the government either. Hopefully it's going to be a very nice, calming podcast today where we'll just flow with positivity and yeah, just see where it takes us from. I get really bad actually, where I can't even remember what I've spoken about. I used to listen to the podcast back. You see, when I first started, I used to listen to them back, and now I just publish them. I don't even listen back. And thankfully, some people around the world seem to like what I'm talking about, and you keep on tuning in every day. And I think it's good. The podcast does go Monday to Friday. The episode is up at like 4:30 British time, London Standard Time. I don't even know how to. Is it GMT? Let's go and have a look at that. Yeah, GMT. Standard time zone. Our time zone abbreviation is BST. Or is London on GMT time now? All right, okay, so it's GMT during the winter months. GMT time zone has the same hour offset GMT plus zero as the Western European Standard Time Zone. When daylight saving time starts, London and the whole of the UK are on British Summer Time BST, which is GMT plus one. So now we know. So we are in BST at the moment because we are in daylight saving time. It's mental actually. It's mental how dark it's starting to get at night time. I noticed it the other night when I was recording this podcast actually. I was doing it later on, and about 9:30 I had to turn on the lights, which is mental because It just feels like it wasn't that long ago when we were getting sunshine, like, well, not sunshine, but it was light until. Yeah, it doesn't really get dark in Aberdeen. I used to find that really weird as well, that when we used to go away down in England when I was a kid, because my grandparents stayed down there and we used to go down and visit them. Now, I always used to notice how in our summer times that it would be light until, you know, like, you would go to bed and it would be light and you wake up and it would be light. And but when you went down to England, it was still getting dark quite early. I found that pretty weird. And then, of course, when you go up to Shetland and even further afield up north, then it's just light all the time, basically. I wouldn't mind visiting Iceland, where they get the light the whole entire time. I used to watch, oh God, what was it? Life Below Zero, and it was people who stayed in Atlantic. No, not Atlantic. I'm gonna need to go and search this as well. Life Below Zero. So what does it say? Alaska, that's it. So people living in Alaska talk about their daily struggles and explain the different techniques they use to survive in a sub-zero degree environment. I loved it. It was absolutely amazing. I've also listened to so Sue Aitkins was one of the people on there, and she came down and done like the Joe Rogan podcast, and also that Glenn Villeneuve. God's sake. Villeneuve or something along those type of lines. He came down and done the Joe Rogan podcast as well, and they were absolutely fascinating listening. Like, he still stays up there. Like, I follow him on Instagram. Like, I will spell out his name since I can't pronounce it. So it's Glenn with two N's. GLENN, and his last name is VILLENEUVE, Villeneuve or something like that, something along those type of lines. But his story on the Joe Rogan podcast was absolutely fascinating. If you've got a spare 3 hours to waste, then go and have a listen to that podcast, because it is absolutely fascinating. He said that he got chased down by like a bunch of wolves. And yeah, just this story about living in Atlantic, like, it is absolutely Alaska, sorry, Atlantic. Why do I keep on saying that? His life of living in Alaska is absolutely fascinating. And Sue Aitken, she stays up like as far as you can get into Alaska, where like you're not far away from polar bears and all that kind of stuff. But the both of their stories was absolutely fascinating. I think the her one on Joe Rogan, like, I think she got attacked by a bear actually, and I think it was like a male bear, and she said that kind of like that, what was it, that if it was a mother bear or something like that, then she would have been dead. But the fact that this was like a juvenile bear basically, and it kind of like it thought that it killed her. And it was gonna come back and eat her basically, but he like she managed to kind of like crawl. I think she broke arms and all that kind of stuff. And but then being up on in Alaska, kind of like there's no one basically there to help her, and she's like the furthest north away. And I think she says that she still gets problem with her hips and everything, and having to deal with that kind of cold as well. I think she said that she saw like a bunch of wolves take down a bear as well. The kind of like the bear, like, I think they had woken it up from hibernation or something like that. Or the bear had woken up from hibernation, and then the wolves had just kind of like were chasing it down and chasing it down until it was, yeah, until it couldn't run anymore basically. And then she said that it was like up her land, you know, like she's got, what is it? It's like an air. Well, I mean, it's not an airport. It's just a landing runway. But yeah, the wolves chased the bear up the runway, and she could hear it. I think that's it as well. Like, I mean, it's not like she's in. It's not like she's in like a wooden hut or something like that. Like it's like a tent or something. Like, not a tent, but they're not allowed structures up there because it's seen that it's not in with the land or something along those type of lines. But yeah, she's got like if a bear wanted to get through, then it could get through basically. So, like, I don't think I could do that. It'd be, yeah, like it would be far too cold to live. But yeah, I was absolutely fascinated by that show. I watched quite a lot of it. So I would highly recommend it, actually. Highly recommend it if that's the type of thing that you like. They do shoot animals and you do see them skinning them and like they shoot caribou and all that kind of stuff. And you've got like trappers in a few seasons and then you've got that Glenn who just goes on like mad hikes. And his story is absolutely fascinating. I would highly recommend going and listening to that Joe Rogan podcast. Let's find it actually. I will tell you what number it is. Joe Rogan. Because you can watch it on YouTube. Maybe actually watching it on YouTube might be a lot better. So, what number is it? It's number 1,395. And you can go and watch that on YouTube as well, because Rogan was putting a lot of his podcasts on YouTube before he went over to Spotify. So it is on YouTube still, I think. Or you can find clips of it. But yeah, I would highly recommend going and listening to that or watching it, because it is such a great episode. If you find yourself that you've got nothing to do and you want to go and listen to that, then I would highly recommend it, because his story is just absolutely fascinating. Like he got his pilot's license and he knew that he wanted to go. I think he was flying over there, like doing a job flying over there, and he kept on seeing this spot and he was like, I'm gonna live there one day. And yeah, he just basically went for it, and now I think he's got like a wife and kids. Like, I follow him on Instagram, as I said, and he was absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. Go and have a listen. But yeah, Life Below Zero. Go and have a watch of that as well. But yeah, up in the Alaska mountain range. Like, I mean, there's a few people that they follow. And there's a guy who's down by the river, and it's his struggles. He gets wild mad though. He's like shouting at his wife and everything like that. He seems a bit like a, not a knob, but gets stressed out easily. I'm gonna end up sneezing. It's not gonna happen. God's sake. Right, so yeah, so I would highly recommend going and watching Life Below Zero, and I would highly recommend going and checking out the Glenn Villeneuve, that's his name, podcast with Joe Rogan, and also the podcast with Sue Aitkins as well, because her story is absolutely fascinating as well. Like, I just find that kind of off-grid living where they use the land basically to. But then, yeah, they talk about the sunlight. Like, I've forgotten what I was talking about there, but now it's came back again. But yeah, they were saying that kind of in the summer they get full, like it doesn't get dark, but then in the winter time there's like hardly any light. And I wouldn't mind going up to Iceland and seeing that. I don't think I would quite enjoy the dark, just being dark all the time. I mean, it's pretty bad living in Aberdeen where you get up and it's dark and you come home and it's dark. I think in Aberdeen when we get our winters, I think it gets dark at like about 5, 6 o'clock at night. Maybe even like 4:30, you're needing to start turning on lights and stuff. Yeah, it's not nice. And I mean, it would be all right if we got the snow, so it felt all Christmassy and all that kind of stuff, but we don't. We just get this wind and it's freezing cold and it's just raining all the time. There was some flash, well, like it's weather forecasted for flash flooding tomorrow, which will be yesterday for the people who are listening to this podcast. Starting to confuse myself actually, because I'm living in the future in my podcast, and then I get back into reality and it's only bloody Tuesday. It's like, oh, why can't it be Thursday? But for the people listening to this podcast, it is Thursday, it's not Tuesday, don't worry. You haven't just skipped back a few days. But you're all thinking that, oh my god, I thought it was the weekend tomorrow, and now this boy's telling me that it's Tuesday. But no, that is just when I'm recording the podcast, and it confuses the bejesus out of me, basically. That I need to think. So trying to tell you about things that are happening tomorrow and today and all that, it's happened a few days ago for you guys that are listening. But yes, but I think I would love to go up to Iceland. I would love to see that. I would love to go to Switzerland as well, actually. Not because of the, but I mean, just because of the snow. I think the mountain ranges and all that kind of stuff would be absolutely amazing to see. Me and the lovely lady that I have in my life have been talking quite a lot about the places that we would like to visit. And Switzerland is definitely up there. I want to explore Britain. I really want to explore Britain. Like, I think that we've got so many natural beauty sites and, like, all over the country. I really want to get down and see Stonehenge, even though you can't get anywhere near it. I would also like, my mum actually, when they were down in England, she sent me a photo of them passing Stonehenge, kind of like just a photo of Stonehenge in the background, which is pretty cool. I want to go down and see Hadrian's Wall as well. I think that would be really fascinating to just go down and see that. I'm so fascinated with history and ruins, and it's absolutely amazing to think that history is still there, basically, you know, like that wall. Let's go and have a quick look, because I do not know when Hadrian's Wall was built. Okay, so AD 122 was Roman wall, Picts wall, or Valum. Yeah, I'm not going to try and pronounce the Latin. So, there's a former defence fortification of the Roman province of Britannia, began in AD 122 in the reigns of Emperor Hadrian, running from Walsed on the River Tyne in the east of Bowness on Solway in the west. The wall covered the whole width of the island. As Jarrett A. Lobo says, in addition to the wall's defence military roles, its gates may have been customs posts. A significant portion of the wall still stands and can be followed on foot along the adjoining Hadrian's Wall path, the largest Roman archaeological feature, in Britain. It runs a total of 73 miles. In Northern England, regarded as a British cultural icon, Hadrian's Wall is one of the biggest major ancient tourist attractions. It was designated as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1987, the year that I was born. In comparison, the Antonio Wall, thought by some to be based on Hadrian's Wall, the Gillam Hypothesis, was not declared a World Heritage Site until 2008. Hadrian's Wall marked the boundary between Roman Britannia and unconquered Caledonia to the north. The wall lies entirely within England and has never formed the Anglo-Scottish border. What I find really funny about that is the fact that the Romans went and conquered absolutely everything. And then they got up to a Scots and they were like, nit, and they're dealing with those fucking Scots, like, wall built. keep those fucking crazy fuckers up there. Doesn't it make you be proud to be Scottish? The fact that the Romans couldn't defeat us. They just built a wall to fucking keep us all in. Nah, they're wearing. I don't know, I suppose when you have a look at their dress sense, they had a bit of like a short skirt type stuff on, did they? But I would love the fact that started being built in AD 122 and it is still standing now is absolutely fascinating. So I would love to go down and see it. And it's a bit like talking about Stonehenge when I was up in Orkney and you go up and you see the standing stones up there, it is absolutely fascinating. And I think they think that the is it like the Ring of Bog there? Let's go and check this out as well. I've got loads of things to check today. I'm not very prepared. So the Ring of Bog there. Or Brodgar, more like. But of course, this has brought me on to. I want to know how long ago it was built. So the Neolithic Stonehenge and Stone Circle, about 6 miles northeast of Stromness on mainland. The largest island in Orkney. The largest island in Orkney? Alright, okay, yeah, because it's got all the little small islands coming off of it. It is part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site known as the Heart of Neolithic Orkney. Like, if they got. In the Neolithic Stonehenge and Stone Circle in mainland Orkney, Scotland is the only major henge and stone circle in Britain, which is almost perfect circle. Most henges do not contain stone circles. Bodgar is a striking exception, ranking with Avebury and Stonehenge among the greatest of such sites. The Ring of Stones stand on a small isthmus between the locks of Stenness and Harray. These are the northernmost examples of circle henges in Britain. Unlike similar structures such as Avebury, there are no obvious stones inside the circle, but since the interior of the circle has never been excavated by archaeologists, the possibility remains that wooden structures, for example, may have been present. The site has resisted attempts at scientific dating and the monument age remains uncertain. All right, okay. It is generally thought to have been erected between 200 to 2500 BC and 2000 BC and was therefore the last of the great Neolithic monuments built on the Ness. A project called the Ring of Brodgar excavation 2008 was undertaken in the summer of that year in an attempt to settle the age issue and help answer other questions about a site that remains relatively poorly understood. The results of the excavation are still preliminary. So the stone circle is 104 meters in diameter, or 341 foot, and the third largest in the British Isles. The ring originally comprised up to 60 stones, of which only 27 remained standing at the end of the 20th century. The tallest stone stands at the south and west of the ring, including the Comet Stone to the southeast. The stones are set within a circular ditch up to 3 metres, 9.8 feet deep, and 9 metres, 30 feet wide. And 380 meters, 1,250 feet in circumference. That was carved out of the solid sandstone bedrock by the ancient residents. Technically, this ditch does not constitute a true henge, and there is no sign of an encircling bank of earth and rock, Many archaeologists continue to refer to this structure as a henge. For example, Audrey Birrell classifies the ditch as a class 2 henge, one that has two opposing entrances, in this case of the northwest and southeast. The ditch appears to have been created in sections, possibly by workforces from different parts of Orkney. The stone may have been later addition may be erected over a long period of time. So examination of the immediate environs reveal a concentration of ancient site making a significant ritual landscape. Within 2 square miles, 5.2 kilometers, there are two circle henges, four chambered tombs, groups of standing stones, single stones, burrows, crates, and mounds. The immediate area has also yielded a number of flint arrowheads and broken stone mace heads that seem to date from the Bronze Age. Although its exact purpose is not known, the proximity of the standing stones of Stranness and its Meosho tomb make the Rings of Bodgar a site of major importance. The site is a scheduled monument and has been recognised as part of the Heart of Neolithic Orkney World Heritage Site in 1999. And they are absolutely fascinating. Fascinating. Orkneys is really fascinating, actually. When you go up there, the amount of history that it's got. And there was some guy as well who found a tomb. I think he was digging in his field and he found something. And then I think he went to the local council and said, "Look, I think I've got something here. So if you come and help me dig this out, then we'll go halves on whatever it is, and if we do like a tourist thing and all that." And the council said, "No, we're not doing that." So he went and like dug it up himself, basically, and he found a tomb and there was bodies down there. And I think he does like a little tour now where you get like. I think you sit on like a sledge type thing, like a pulley rope thing, and you go down into the tomb, and it's all that. And I think the council came up like after he had done it and after he started making money off of it, and they were like, "Oh, we're wanting a piece of this action." And the boy was like, "Nah, well, I came and asked you like when I was digging it up if you wanted a piece of the action, and you said no, you declined. So I'm not gonna deal with yous now." Typical councils, is it? Total typical councils. But Orkney is absolutely stunning for the history. Like I really enjoyed being up there for that side of it, like being able to see those types of standing stones. And they're huge, you know, like these are massive standing stones, huge standing stones. And just before the Ring of Bodgar, you've got like another set of standing stones that look over the loch. And then you've also got I think it's another tomb that when the winter solstice sun hits, it goes straight through the tomb, which is fascinating. I mean, you think back to like when they were building that, how precise they had to be to make sure that the sun was going to hit at that exact time is absolutely mind blowing. I don't think that we give the people credit who lived in those type of lifetimes that they were, you know, like that they weren't as smart as us and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's just absolute crap, to be quite honest. I heard it. I watched the TikTok not that long ago, and it was talking about Neanderthals, and it was like a burial site, and there was like flowers thrown into it, and they were talking about it, and they were like, "This was someone's family, you know, like this was a family member. They grieved about it and everything, you know, like, so we don't give them enough credit where we think that we're better, you know, like how many civilizations do you think that has been completely wiped off of the earth because of natural disasters that could have been as high as we are? It's mental to think, completely mental to think that we think that we are the greatest, that there's been no one else like us. But you look at the pyramids, and you look at like the well, I mean, there's loads of pyramids at the all over the world. And you look at some of the buildings like Bekele Tepe and that kind of stuff. And like, how did they do that? We still don't know. We still don't know how they've done it. It's absolutely fascinating. I so love history and immersing myself in that kind of stuff. It is so interesting. What interests you? Kind of like, does this sort of stuff interest you? Because I find it absolutely fascinating. Sorry, it was bound to happen. I think I'm just gonna start calling this the yawning podcast, where I come on and speak for a bit and then end up yawning all the time. I've got my coffee as well, so I am gonna move the microphone away and I am going to drink my coffee. Testing out like a new microphone. I got a bag, some of my stuff, and there was a pair of like Sony headphones. So hopefully the microphone's a lot better on that. The people who actually speak to me will need to let me know whether you can hear a sound difference or whether you haven't got a clue or whether you haven't noticed any difference at all. So today is day one of the 30-day challenge, the self-care challenge. So I think today was nurture, as I couldn't say yesterday, which was an absolute joke. Yeah, nurture your body with fruits and vegetables today, which is nice and easy because that's basically all that I eat anyway. It might not be easy for you, but I did. I put the photo up on my Instagram yesterday, so go and check it out for me, please. And if you want to join in, then just start joining in. It doesn't look too hard. It looks pretty good. And the positive affirmations, I think that we should just start doing them every day. Let's try and see. I just got a phone call there, which total set me off guard. But then it also might let me finish with the rest of my coffee, which is fine. So positive affirmations. I also need to make sure that I haven't, that I'm not gonna put the stupid first bay, the second bay first, like I done the last time when this happened. So life-changing affirmations, which I think that we should all be doing every day. And here's the first one. I possess the qualities needed to be extremely successful. My thoughts are filled with positivity, and my life is plentiful with prosperity. Creative energy surges through me and leads me to new and brilliant ideas. Everything that is happening now is happening for my ultimate good. Happiness is a choice. I base my happiness on my own accomplishments and blessings I've been given. Though these times are difficult, they are only short phases of life. My ability to conquer my challenges are limitless. My potential to succeed is infinite. I am conquering my illness. I am defeating it steadily each day. My life is just beginning. They're quite good. What is this? So, positive affirmations to start your day. I will be present in every moment. I am smart. I am kind. I am brave. I am beautiful. Today is a great day. It's quite a good one, actually. What are these morning affirmations? I feel healthy and strong today. I have all I need to make today a great day. I have it within me to solve any challenges that occur today. I am able to make smart decisions for myself today. I am happy and content with my life. I am patient and calm and looking forward to today. I am grateful for another day to make a positive contribution. We've also, there's affirmations for abundance as well. I am in flow with money. I love money and money loves me. I am a money magnet. Money flows to me with great ease. I welcome abundance now. My income continuously increases. I always attract money. I am prosperous. Prosperous, more like. I am attuned to the vibrations of money. But yes, I completely think that telling yourself good things about yourself as well, that telling yourself that I am happy, I am beautiful, I am loved, you do feel a lot better. I remember when I was I've probably went away from the affirmations a lot, which is stupid. I should start doing them every day. But yeah, when I was doing them before, telling myself how beautiful I was, and you start feeling a hell of a lot better about yourself and what you are achieving and what you are accomplishing in your life. And I think we need to start loving ourselves a bit more, do we not? That you are going to be the only person who truly loves you, you know, like you're the one who needs to live with yourself. So other people put you down, you know, like why should you be putting yourself down? Let's all stop doing that and let's start focusing on what we're absolutely amazing at. Everybody's got flaws. Everybody is going to be better than you at something. That's just the way that life goes. You know, like you've got the elite people who are right at the top, but if you're doing your best, then that's all that you can do, really, is it? That you can only do your best, and if you're doing your best, then stop stressing about it. Stop worrying that you need to be doing better, you need to be doing this, because the person down the street he's doing better than you at investing or whatever it is. I found it hard with the running as well, because when I was running and people were running past me and you would get a bit downhearted about it, but now it's like, it's fine. I remember, not that long ago, I was running up on the Beach Boulevard, and I had ran past a girl, and then she had kind of like, she ran past me, but then she gave up. Like, I think it was like her first kind of time running, because she was walking, and then she started running again, and then kind of like, she was fast. Well, not too fast, but she was fast. She was faster than me. But I think I've also learned that I know that I need to control my pace now, because you can't just go full pelt the whole entire time, otherwise you're just going to burn yourself out. So I've totally learned that kind of my first couple of Ks are quite slow, and then I start getting in. Well, apart from my run today, because I think my first few Ks were pretty good, actually. I changed my run route as well. I went a different way this time. Oh, not bad at all. I never even checked it. So my first K was 6 minutes 39, which is, I normally get 6 minutes 47. So I knocked some, what, like 8 seconds off of that. And then normally my second K is around about 6 minutes and a half, 6 minutes 27. And I got 6 minutes and 3. And then my third was 5 minutes 54. My fourth was 5 minutes 46. And then my fifth was 5 minutes 56, so I definitely pushed it today. Like, I think I'd done it in 30 minutes and 30 seconds, 5K, which really is, that's not bad for me at all, because normally I'm about 31 minutes, 32 minutes, around about that kind of mark for a 5K, but that's it. Just keep on pushing yourself. You will be absolutely amazed at what you can put your body through. Amazed. Like, I totally didn't think that I would be one of those type of people who would be able to run 5K, like, basically every day.
When I first started as well, not when I first started, but when I first started, like when I was actually getting into the running, I was going out in the morning with my mate and then coming back out and then going out running again with another friend later on. I mean, I was doing like 10K a day by two different runs and then going out and playing badminton and then getting up the next day after you had done all that and went back out running again. You would be so surprised at what you can put your body through. When you think that you're tired and you've got no more energy, you've only used 40%. Like, let me just check this out actually. Sorry about this. While I type something up in Google. Yeah, so here we go. So this is Forbes.com. And it says, so there's no shortage of business books on the market, including mine, most of which claim to hold the secret to success. As a business book writer, if you ever speak, blah blah blah. I grew up with the 40% rule, but I didn't realize it until I read Jesse Itzler's book, Living with a SEAL. In it, Itzler describes how he hired a Navy SEAL to come live with him and his family for a month to teach them the lessons of mental toughness. The 40% rule is simple. When your mind is telling you that you are done, that you're exhausted, that you cannot possibly go any further, you are only actually 40% done. The human mind is an amazing thing. It both propels us forward and holds us back. The 40% rule reminds us that no matter how exhausted we might feel, it is always possible to draw on an untapped reserve of energy, motivation, and drive that we all possess. It's not too hard for everyone else. Now, I've never lived with a Navy SEAL, but my father is just about the closest civilian equivalent you'll ever find. I've written about his business lessons before, but I've never shared his trademark mantra before. Growing up, I was told, if it's too hard for someone else, it's just right for us. It's a phrase that I both loved and hated. I loved it when he was referring to academic challenges, entrepreneurial endeavors, or ethical choices. I hated it, however, when it was said about a grueling hike or another athletic undertaking. Nevertheless, his mantra has in many ways shaped the course of my life. In essence, it means that our ability to deal with challenging difficulties and setbacks is defined not by our ability, but rather by our mindset. The mere act of saying it reinforced the core principles of the 40% rule. Growing up, my entire worldview revolved around the fact that I should and could push myself harder than anyone. It says the 40% rule in entrepreneurship. It says Winston Churchill once remarked that success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. I've never came across a more appropriate description of entrepreneurship. Success isn't a matter of being smart or tougher than anyone else. It's a matter of never giving up. And that's exactly what I do with my running, that you just need to keep on pushing yourself. When you think that you are tired, you still have that 40%. So it's not that you've only used 48% up, you've used 60% up and you've still got 40% in that tank. And believe me, I've been there. I think that I am absolutely knackered, that there's no way that I'm going to be able to push myself, and you can. As I've said many a times on this podcast, that our bodies like to be in the comfort zone. It likes to be, they don't like doing or our minds don't like doing those hard things. It would much rather be in the comfort zone watching Netflix and keeping you there. You need to push yourself to do the things that your mind is telling you that it doesn't want to do. Like, I mean, it's a bit like today, Tuesday, for me. Thursday for you right now who's listening to the podcast. But yeah, it was exactly the same for me today. When I woke up this morning, it was absolutely pishing it down. Like, I mean, monsoon rain, chucking it down. And it was still like, right, we're going out. The rain's not going to stop us. Like, your skin is waterproof. Your clothes might not be waterproof, but if you chuck on a jacket, then they're waterproof anyway. But I mean, I didn't want a jacket or anything like that. I think I put on a jumper that got tied around my waist halfway through because I was sweating buckets. But that wasn't going to stop me. It wasn't going to stop me from doing the things that I know make me feel better about myself. And you need to start finding those habits too. You need to start finding the things that are good for you. And things that are bad for you, like sitting there watching Netflix or constantly scrolling on your phone and all that kind of stuff. They're not good for you. They're not good habits. You're wanting a habit that is going to serve you, that is going to keep you going when the times get hard. And it's absolutely amazing now, because that is exactly what running does for me now. That when a difficult situation arises, then I'll go out running. Whereas before, I used to smoke weed because of it, and I would think that smoking weed would make me happy, and that I needed that external thing, like that outside thing, to make me happy. And realizing now that, what was I doing? I didn't even need it to make me happy. It's just that I was dealing with a whole load of other crap in my life that I didn't want to deal with, basically. And now the fact that I've dealt with it, I don't even need it anymore. It was like that crutch is now gone. It's also believing in yourself, knowing that you can stop it. But we live in the present moment. Just remember that we all live in the present moment. So we need to be doing these things in the present moment. If you want to stop smoking cigarettes, then guess what? You're going to need to stop it in the present moment. But you need to believe in yourself that you can stop smoking. Stop putting those barriers in front of you. Because it's us. It's no one else who's putting those barriers in front of you. It's you who's putting the barriers in front of you that, oh no, I can't do that, or I won't be able to stop smoking. And guess what? You're not going to be able to stop smoking if that's the way that you think. You're not going to be able to run 5K if that's the way that you think that, nah, I'll never do it. And I understand that you are going to need to build yourself up first to be getting to the point where you can run 5K. But it doesn't take long, honestly. Like, I was absolutely gobsmacked at how quickly things started happening when I, like, after I had started running regularly. It's a total word that I can't pronounce. Along with loads of other words. But yeah, that, I really struggled with that one. I'm not even going to try it again. But once I started running all the time, then I was so shocked at the changes that happened. And then the fact that you start feeling bad about yourself, that you're actually achieving something in your life, that you are showing your mind that you are the type of person who says he's going to do something and then goes away and does it, or you tell yourself or herself that you can do these things. But you need to understand that if you're one of these people who is saying that you're going to go and do this, like you're going to go and do it on Monday and you're going to stop smoking, and then when you don't, you are telling your mind that you are the type of person who doesn't follow through on their word. So that's why I constantly say about start setting yourself little goals. Set the little goals and then start praising yourself when you achieve those little goals. Like making your bed, like opening up the curtains, like other little things that might not matter to you. Taking out the recycling instead of letting it sit at the side of your door, or I don't know. I'm not too sure of other little small goals that you can do, but But yeah, like the making of the bed has definitely been a massive help to me. I mean, I never used to make my bed. They always used to get left messy because, oh no, I was up early, and then my curtains would get left closed because, oh no, I don't have time to open my curtains. But now the fact that I make my bed and I open up the curtains, it makes me feel better now. And then when I come back home and my bedroom's looking all nice and neat because the curtains are open and the bed's been made, then you start feeling bad about yourself because you are now proving to your mind that you are the type of person who follows through on things that you say that you're gonna do. It's like my mind now knows that when we get up, we will be going for a run. And then after that, we will be having a cold shower. And then after that, we will be doing the podcast. There's no can like, it's just not gonna happen basically unless I'm injured. And but if I'm injured, then I'll try and find something else that I can do that's a physical activity so that I'm not going stir crazy. My knees are starting to hurt quite a bit recently. Started noticing that. But it's weird because when I'm out on my run, it doesn't hurt. But it's like afterwards, I can feel the little niggles and pains. And but that's what I'm saying to you. You know, like you'd be surprised at how much you can put your body through. And once you start doing these things daily, then you start realizing what is severe pain, and what is just little niggly pain. You know, like the yeah, I've been out running and I've been like, no, I know I'm gonna need to stop because this seems serious. And then other things like when your ankle's like a little bit sore and stuff, then by the end of the time that you finished your run, it's gone. It's just your mind saying if you're gonna quit. And exactly as Goggin says, like you don't quit when you're tired, you quit when you're done. So if you've set yourself that 5K challenge, then you don't stop halfway through it. You don't stop for a breath. And I also think that that's probably really like a really really bad idea. You just need to learn to conquer that mind basically, because it's your mind who's telling you that you're tired. Don't get me wrong, I still go through it. I still go through the lull where you're like, oh my God, like this is really difficult. My legs are burning and like I might need to stop, but I never do. Because I've beaten my mind. It's not gonna win anymore. I was that person where I let my mind win constantly all the time, where I would lie to myself about doing something or stopping something, or so many times I thought that I was gonna stop smoking weed, and I told myself, you know, like I'm gonna stop smoking weed, and then the next day I would start getting absolutely raging because I hadn't smoked weed, and then I would be back buying it again. And I mean, I knew myself that it was stupid, but I just couldn't help myself. And then finding out that I've got that happiness from within me is just. It changed my life completely, completely changed my life. And the fact that I changed my life now and great people have started coming into my life, people that I care for dearly. And we all big each other up, which is absolutely amazing. I love it. I absolutely love it. To think back to the people who I was used to hanging around with, and the fact that we weren't bringing each other up. Like me and my mate who I just went and helped with the shed, like the guy who I started running with and everything like that, like we used to talk to each other like utter shit. Like get on the phone and be like, oh, you're a fucking dick and all that kind of stuff. And like I look back at it now and it's like, why was I speaking to him like that? Like why was I so negative and speaking to people like that? Instead of being kind and helpful, and yeah, it's just absolutely mentally insane that those type of things were happening. Just not being positive, and then thinking that, oh my God, my life's so shit. No wonder my life was so shit. If that's the way that I was speaking to people, then no wonder. Because they were the type of vibrations that I was putting out to the universe. So The fact now that I've changed that and now good things are happening all the time. I mean, I understand that bad things still happen, but I can now choose the way that I react to it. I understand that bad things happen now, but kind of like I can now choose to react to it differently. That it's a test that I don't need to worry about these type of things anymore. I can just go on with my day. And as I've said before as well, that kind of like, I was such a grudge holder, such a grudge holder. Like if things would happen, then I just wouldn't work it out, and I would just not talk to people. And now it's like, well, we're gonna talk about it now, because I'm not gonna deal with that in my head. I'd much rather get out in the open, where if you've got a problem with me, then we'll sort it out, rather than me going home thinking about it for ages, bringing up like scenarios and stuff like that in my head. It's like, nah, fuck that. There's no point. Definitely no point. And I think that we should all start being like that. If you've got a problem with someone, then just bring it to the table. Like, what is the worst that could happen? We do live in fear quite a lot of other people's opinion of us, and what other people will think about what you're doing. And who gives a flying fuck now? Like, honestly, you just do you. I've got a t-shirt coming. I don't know, I probably have mentioned it, but yeah, I've got a t-shirt coming that says, "This is the type of person that I am." No one said that you had to like it. Once you start living your life like that, it is so much better. Because you start removing the fake people, the people who were taking your energy, the people who didn't have your best interest at heart. You just completely remove those people from your life. And now you're not dealing with the negativity, you're not dealing with the hate, and you're not dealing with the feeling like shit. I think that was another reason that I was speaking to my mate like that, calling him a dick and all that kind of stuff, is because I was getting spoken to like that when I was going and seeing like my friends. So then I felt the need that I needed to portray that onto him, well, I mean, it was a mirror image of myself. This is how I felt about myself. Obviously, that I thought I was a dick and all that kind of stuff, and I was portraying that hate onto him. And there'd be many arguments where kind of like my mate would say to me, he was like, "Why are you talking to me like that? You know, like what, like why do you do this constantly?" And yeah, I think we fell out quite a good few times because I was just being a fucking arsehole, basically. And now when we see each other, it's like the greatest relationship ever, like the greatest friendship ever, that we just big each other up. Like, he's away to go and do a dog walking business, that I would love to get him onto the podcast and hear what he's got to say about the dog walking business. But I think he said that he wanted to wait until he gets it all sorted. But yeah, like, I mean, it would be absolutely amazing, you know, like, let's just big each other up. Exactly as we said before in this podcast, we have no idea what other people are going through. You see a little snippet of their life and you have no idea what's going on. No idea. Because they're only going to tell you the good thing that's happening in their life. They're not going to tell you about all the bad things. Whereas you might be friends, so they give you the information, they give you bad stuff. But I bet you've got friends out there that you know that there's certain things that you can't talk to them about. And then at the end of the day, you know, like, well, why are you changing yourself? Why can you not speak about those sorts of things with people that are meant to love and care for you? And then that's where you need to reevaluate your life. You know when you've got a true friend, when you can talk about absolutely anything with those people, and you know for a fact that they're not going to judge you. And they're gonna stand by you, and they're either gonna help you, or they're gonna, you know, like, they're not gonna think that you're an absolute nut job for the things that you're saying. Whereas some of the people that I was hanging around with, you know, they would slag you off for that kind of stuff. And it's definitely a lot better now that I'm not putting out, I'm not, there isn't that kind of crap in my life anymore. Like, it's just, oh well. Exactly, as my t-shirt is gonna say, this is the type of person that I am. No one said that you had to like it. But yeah, think I've rambled on enough today. I need to try and remember some of the stuff that I've spoken about and write that down for the description of what happened in this podcast. But thanks very much for tuning in again. As I said, it's because of you that this happens daily. So thank you. You have no idea how happy it makes me seeing that people are listening to this podcast. It's absolutely amazing. But remember, love big, be happy, appreciate the small things, be thankful for what you already have, and stop focusing on what you don't have. Remember, the aim of the game is to find happiness from within. Peace and love as always, and I will speak to you soon. Ciao.